Chapter 3. We're going to start right at the beginning. Are you ready? This is the call, the burning bush, the call and the burning bush. Are you ready? Moses in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, understand that Moses is carrying on a very ordinary life. This is what he tended every day. He did this every day. So this was nothing new, nothing out of the ordinary. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. All of a sudden, it's extraordinary. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. He's just carrying on a little investigation here. He's walking along. There's a bush that's on fire, which would not be all that extraordinary in the desert. There were bush fires all the time, but this one was a little different because as he watched it, nothing was consumed. And so it says merely that he goes over to investigate it, to just see what the heck's going on. He's on a science expedition. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, when God had his attention, notice that when God has had his attention, God called to him from within the bush, Moses. Moses, and Moses says, here I am. Here I am. Now the bush is talking. We not only got a bush that is not consumed, which is a little weird, but now it's speaking. Even weirder. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I want to pause there a minute. Take off your sandals, Moses, because you're standing on holy ground. Now, this ground that he's standing on is desert ground. Why is this ground holy? Because God is there. This verse became the impetus for the entirety of the Old Testament, that when you entered the temple, you took off your shoes. You took off your shoes because you were entering into the presence of God, and in the presence of God, it is holy. And your shoes, dirty as they are, would defile this holy realm. Moses, take off your shoes. You are standing on holy ground. You know, I told you before that in the styles of worship, there's worship wars that go on in Christian churches. You know, do you have traditional music or do you have contemporary music? It's been raging for, you know, decades. And I was steeped and educated in traditional worship being with robes and ritual and hymns, and, you know, it's almost like high church, you know. And high church is wonderful because it elevates the holiness and the power of God, the majesty of God. But the only problem with that is that those hymns and that style of worship puts me at odds with God, almost puts God as an other rather than as my Lord and Savior. It does not, and I've seen throughout the decades, as I've observed and led in those churches, that, you know, the primary thing that God wants us to get is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors yourself. And worship ought to help do that. And traditional worship, I don't believe, helps you do that. Contemporary songs, by their very nature, engage us with God and at least implores us to come to God. But in the process of putting God in a place where, you know, we can relate to him, have a relationship with him, which contemporary worship tends to do. The danger is that we make God into a buddy. And God's not our buddy. God is God. Approachable? Yes. Loving? Yes. Wants to engage in a relationship with me and with you? Yes. But holy and righteous. Sometimes the danger in contemporary churches like ours is that we're so casual that we almost minimize the holiness of God. You're standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off. Realize that you're in the very presence of God, and maybe we ought to have a shoe bin in the back. Truly. I'm going to take my shoes off right now. We stand on holy ground. Why? You know, Jesus says that where two or three of you are gathered, there I am in the midst of you. Jesus is here. This is holy ground. Moses, take off your shoes. And then he says this. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. All of a sudden, God identifies himself. I am the God of your forefathers. The way that God has identified himself up till now is that I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. At this, Moses recognized that he was in the presence of holiness, and he hid his face. And the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard my people crying, and because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. This is the deal. As Moses hears this, he goes, oh, thank you, Lord, that you have recognized the suffering of the people and that you're going to do something about it. Not only do something about it, but he says, I'm not even going to take you out of misery. I'm going to put you in to a new dig, a new home, a new crib. Whatever the children say today, I want to be hip, if nothing. I'm going to put you in a new land. I'm going to give you the gift of all gifts. And Moses has got to be thinking, oh, that sounds great, until we get to verse 10. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Oh, I would have loved to have been there, because the butt's getting bigger. We got butts all over the place. Are you ready? But number one, Moses hears this, and immediately he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Do you hear the cry of desperation there? I love that. Immediately, Moses is me. Ken Davis, he tells a story about a guy that he gets on the bus. He wants to follow God. Here's a sermon on, you know, that we need to evangelize the world. And so he gets on this empty bus, he walks to the rear, and he sits down and he prays, Lord, if you want me to speak to somebody about you, please give me a sign. And so, you know, a couple stops later, a guy comes down on the bus and sits down right next to him, and the passenger asks, he says, do you know anything about Jesus? And the Christian, he excuses himself for a moment, and he slowly bows his head, and Once again, he prays, Lord, if you really want me to talk to this stranger, I need just one more sign. Please turn the bus driver into an armadillo. That's kind of our reluctant discipleship, isn't it? You know, Lord, give me a sign. I'm not going to do it. You know, but give me a, no, I'm not going to do it. Moses, he gets this. And immediately, you know, when you think of Moses, oh, this is Moses. This is Charlton Heston. You know, this is, you know, this is, you know, let my people go. You know, I mean, just majestic and powerful. And there's nobody better than Moses. Moses is me. Okay. Excuse number one. I can't do. Who am I to do this? Come on. And then God said, he answers it, gives a response. Okay, you know, I understand your butt, but here's what I'm going to say. I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. I will be with you. That's God's response. I will be with you. I will be with you. What better thing can you have than God with you? And that's throughout the whole Bible. You know, Jesus, as he is ascending into heaven, one of the last statements he makes to the disciples is, go ye therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus promises to be with us always. God is promising Moses, okay, Moses, I understand you're a little nervous about this. It's a big deal. But guess what? I will be with you. Is there any take-home lesson there? You know, that as we are hesitant to take a step that we know God wants us to, that we're not alone, that God is with us, when we're going through a difficulty, a storm, and we feel like, you know, we're about to crumble, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God says, I understand your hesitation, I understand your fear, I understand your doubt, but I will be with you. I'm in charge of this. I will be with you. Okay, that should settle it, right? Moses would say, okay, I hear you. Pastor Doug says that ought to be enough. No. Number two, but Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them? Excuse number two. I don't know who you are. I don't know how to identify you. I won't know. So what does God say? God said to Moses, here God for the first time identifies himself by name. This is a big deal. This is God identifying himself with a name, and the name is Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. In the Hebrew, it's four letters, no vowels, Y-W-E-H. J-H, Yahweh. It's also the letters that form the word Jehovah. This identifies God as Yahweh, which means I am who I am. How do you give a name to God? Names in the Old Testament always embodied who the person was. So how does God embody who he is in his infinite power, strength, breadth to puny minds like ours that we can comprehend? He identifies himself as I am who I am. I am the great I am. Remember Jesus? He said, I am the great I am. I am who I am. The embodiment of the Holy One is I am who I am. And he goes on and he says, this is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. The only one in the universe that can say, I am who I am the creator. I am the sustainer. I am everything. I am who I am. You go and you tell them that. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord of the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation to generation, which is exactly what happened. We identify him as Yahweh. In the Bible, it's oftentimes translated Lord in the Old Testament, the Lord God. And he says, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers. You notice how often this comes, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to put into historical context who we're talking about, the one who has already orchestrated his will in the lives of his people. And then we go to verse 18. Let's go down to 18. The elders of Israel will listen to you. And then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us. Verse 19, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. In other words, God here in chapter 3, and we're not going to go through it verse by verse, but what he's doing is he's prophesying exactly what's going to happen. Moses, you're going to go to the elders, and you're going to tell them the plan. You're going to tell them who told you. You're going to tell them who's with them, and you're going to go, and you're going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go. Pharaoh is going to resist. And I'm going to have to show my mighty hand. God is going to be able to demonstrate, I am who I am. So, you know, it's no big shock to Moses when it actually happens, because God is telling him, this is what we're going to be. So now, number one, I'm going to be with you. Number two, you've got my name, and the name embodies my power for your life, to sustain you, to make this a successful venture. That is the response. I am who I am. That ought to be enough. True? Oh, no. Moses has another big but. Are you ready? Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me, and they say, the Lord did not appear to you? It would be like me coming in and saying, you know, God spoke to me, and we're going to overtake the government. They've just gone over the edge with morality, and God has told me, and you go, okay, lock him up. Well, it wasn't all that different in Moses' day. Moses is, you know, one of the crew. And all of a sudden, he's going to come to him, and he's going to say, we are going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let us go. God has told me that. Do you think that maybe somebody might say, really? Really, Moses? Moses, God told you that, huh? Really? And Moses is already anticipating that with a big but. What happens when I go to them? They won't believe me. End of story. Oh, God's got a response. What is his response? It is, show them. Show them. He says, Moses, I'm going to paraphrase the next few verses for you. Moses, what is that you got in your hand? That's a staff. We use this in sheep herding, a staff. Would you please just throw it down? And so Moses, very obedient, throws it down. It turns into a snake. Now that's a swift trick. Sweet. And so Moses is naturally a little shocked and a little scared. And God says, grab the snake by the tail. And so he does and immediately goes back into the staff. Wow. Show him that. And if that doesn't do it, how about we do this? Stick your hand inside your coat. And he does, and he pulls it out. Leprosy. All ugly. And God says, now put it back in your gut. Puts it back, crystal clear. Sweet! Two. And God says, now if that doesn't do it, Number three, take some water and pour it over here, and boom, it turns into blood. Now, that's swift. So he says, if you go to them and you tell them what my plan is and you tell them that I sent you and they don't believe you, you pull out the three good ones. They'll love the snake, they'll love the leprosy, and they'll go nuts over the over the blood. Oh, that's sweet. So, end of story, right? No. He's got another butt. In chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, now he's going to get polite. You notice? Pardon your servant, Lord. Pardon me, Lord. You know, I know that I've given you three, you know, and you've really come up with the answer to those. Pardon me. Please pardon me. Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. You know, this is a speaking job. And I'm just not very good at speaking. Anybody feel that way, that you're not very good at speaking? If I asked you to come up and give a little talk, you know, some Sunday morning, some of you would turn white and pass out. Because you're not very eloquent in speech, you think. And Moses says, you know, I got to go to the Pharaoh, and I got to really be strong, and I got to really be, you know, I got to be silver-tongued, and I'm just not very eloquent. And the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will reach and will teach you what to say. So God's response to, I just can't speak, is, wow, we're behind here. Next one. No, back up. I'll leave it there. The response is, I'm going to show you, okay? I'm going to show you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with your mouth. I'm going to give you the words to say. And does that do it? Does that do it for Moses? Yeah, verse 13. But Moses says, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. We got four excuses and then the final plea. You know, here am I, Lord, send me. Isaiah's great plea. Here am I, Lord, send me. Moses is, here am I, send anybody else. I've given you four excuses you haven't listened to. Now please go send somebody else. And what does it say? Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And here's God's response to his plea, please send somebody else. His answer was, no. No. The Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him, put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak. He will speak to the people for you, and it'll be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. You're not wiggling your way out of this. I've got a plan. I've got the power. I need you to cooperate. Does this relate to anybody other than me? You know, in God's word, he calls us to be his children, to be his people, to have a relationship with him, to serve him, to love and serve others. Every week we delve into that which God desires of us. And we've got all kinds of excuses why we don't. Well, I've served in the ministry for decades. And, you know, especially when I've been somewhere a lengthy period of time, and discover that something in somebody's life has been brewing for years and it blows up. I think to myself, that they have been sitting, in the church for all these years, listening to the word all these years, and specifically with the difficulty that they've been struggling with, we've addressed, many times, and I mean, God's word has been clear, and yet nothing has been done. It's like, wow, am I wasting my time here? Now I think how discouraged I am. Can you imagine how discouraged God is? When we've got excuse after excuse after excuse for not doing what we know he wants us to do, for not doing what God has called us to do, for not tanking our lives and the lives of others around us. Excuse after excuse after excuse, and it could be from the position of fear. But God says, I'll be with you. God says, I never ask you to do anything that I won't give you the power to be able to do. I'm not a cruel God. I don't come and say, ooh, I'm going to have a little fun with you, because I'm going to call you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to tithe, and then I'm going to watch your world crumble as you go into poverty. That's not what God does. He says, if you take a step and do what I call you to do, I'll give you the power and the strength to do it. But you got to be willing. I'll be with you. I'll be with your mouth, he says to Moses, he says to us. So what is it in your life that needs to be rearranged that you have thrown all the butts at? And is it time to take a step and say, not but? But I'm going to take a step and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to draw nearer to him. I'm going to spend more time with him. I'm going to take the step that I know he's been nagging at me to take. That's the Holy Spirit. If you it could be a nudging. It could be, wow, he mentioned this, and that's a coincidence with what's going on in my life. There is no such thing as coincidence in the life of a Christian. You do know that? If you feel a nudge, if you don't respond to the nudge, you may get a kick. We are full of excuses. And God, no. I have called you to do a specific thing, a specific task, live a specific life. I've got a plan for you, a purpose for you. And it's a plan, it's a purpose, it's a future with hope. It's a future that's going to bless you as you bless others, as you please God. It's a beautiful system God's worked out. But it's normal for us to give excuses. It's also normal for God to say, no. Take the step. Have you got all that out of your system? No. Moses, go. Go. Same thing he says to us, go. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Moses. And thank you for the example that he shows, that a man who can do mighty things, who can show up in Hebrews 11 in the great hall of fame of faith. Yet he's just like you in that he wants to love you and follow you, but he's also just like us in that he's full of excuses. Why he can't do what you want him to do, and Lord, that's us. And I pray that you would minister to each one of us, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would identify these areas in our lives that we have filled with excuses rather than taking a step of faith. a step closer to you, a step closer to living according to your will, and that you would eliminate those excuses, and we would say, yes. Yes, Lord, here we are. Use me. Grow me. Refine me. In the name of Jesus. Amen.